You're listening to the State of Our Football Nation on FNR. I'm just waiting for the camera to go green. Or is it just a red camera?
Yeah, light? It's a red recording light.
Red recording light. That's trained scary. On you. You would have thought after 40-odd years of television, I'd be comfortable with the red light coming on and not wait for the green one. That explains a lot of things. Good afternoon, good morning, good night. It's one of the things that fascinates me. Whenever we do programming like this, that we replay at different times, I hate saying good morning. I hate saying good night. I'd say good afternoon, because it dates everything, you see, and scares the hell out of people. you're just slipping out of bed. Oh, no, you've slipped in the bathroom. My goodness. No, it's all right. It's very late in the evening. No, it's all right. It's just one of those editions of State of Our Football Nation. Josh Parrish has had to cope with a massive traffic jam on CityLink. They keep telling us it flows beautifully, but he knows the real thing.
Well, you know, on Google Maps, we have your color coded traffic.
Yeah, it was purple.
I've seen blue. I've seen orange. I've seen red.
You've never seen purple.
I've never seen black before.
Is that black?
It went black.
That augurs. Yeah, that's no good news. No, and that's why we're late. We apologise for that. A State of Our Football Nation. We're talking about everything that is about the game of football, the round ball code, the world game. I normally get to talk to Athos Syrianos, but he's run off to a place called Ararat to do some wonderful things for himself, and we wish him well. I catch up with him occasionally via Zoom, which is really strange bit of technology, isn't it? You're there, but you're not there.
I think everyone experienced that last year.
Oh, yeah, through COVID. look, some exciting news, though, over the last week since we were last on air on FNR. Josh and I last week talked about a number of things that were of interest, some great games that were being played. We got a chance to speak to some terrific people who gave us an idea that more good news is on the way. And in fact, over the last 72 hours, we've seen more great football played in the A-League. We've seen some terrific contests. And there's another game coming up tonight at Amy Park, which pits the top of the table, Melbourne City, up against the side that seems to have the wood on City. Is that fair to say, Josh? Adelaide Reds seem to, whether it's Stephen Mawk who can talk the talk and normally stick goal in the back of the net when you don't want him to, as the captain of the Reds, he loves this particular game.
Yeah, he seems to come
rise
back
to
bite
occasion.
City. I mean, these two teams, partially thanks to the man we spoke to last week, Mr. Petrillo.
Correct.
Have an intertwined history and an intertwined playing staff, with both sides having players frequently move in different directions, sometimes in the senior
Jakobsen,
team.
For example, was a City player.
Sometimes in the youth team, where we've seen the likes of Cristiano's son, Rafael Borges Rodriguez, move to the NPL side.
Garuccio.
Very, very promising. There's been a lot of players who've played for both clubs, so it's sort of almost an intra-club rivalry.
It is, isn't it?
It's got that closeness
and
intensity.
It's like an inner derby.
Yeah.
But it promises to be an exciting one, and the rain is going to add another element. Amy Park is a terrific surface. But occasionally when the weather turns a bit like this, you either get better penetration in your boots or it gets a little slippery. What do you think the conditions are going to be like tonight? Quick?
Well,
they will be quick, won't they?
If the City Link's anything to go by,
it could
be perilous. But I just look at this A-League table and I do wonder who on earth wants to finish second. Because you look at the three teams four teams in close contention there in Central Coast, Sydney, Adelaide and MacArthur. And between them, in their last five games each, so that's 20 whole games, there's only three wins there.
Think about that.
I mean, that's insane.
Well, we saw Raw the other day and the Mariners just split yet another game. That was an opportunity for the Mariners to get back into the winner's circle. It was also an opportunity for the Raw to continue what has been a terrific run for them. And neither had that little cutting edge that was required to get them over the line. So another draw. But what did you make of last night's game? Perth Glory taking apart Western United. Western United has thrilled and has also threatened at times to really get on a big run. And suddenly out of nowhere, they've been whipped in a really ugly way by the Wanderers and now taken not quite to the cleaners, but given a decent size backslap by the Glory that have been struggling to score goals.
I think West United are like weary hitchhikers at this point, having travelled hard for several weeks.
You think
now,
it's catching up?
I think it really is. I think they're looking physically exhausted, and I think that's a big part of their game, that if they can't maintain the kind of discipline of the forward press, or even, you know, they're a pretty tactically flexible side, but, you know, if the defending isn't happening high up the park, they can be really sorely exposed. And I think we've seen that in the last few games with their attacking players and their midfield players really feeling the weight of all those minutes in their legs and the weight of all that travel. And, you know, the Western Sydney Wanderers game was the clearest example of that, where James Troisi took them to pieces.
And it was only a short stint, wasn't it? It just opened them up like a piece of fruit, and it was like, wow, where did this come from? And for Troisi, it's been a mixed season, hasn't it? He's had flashes of some of the skill that he's shown during his better spells, and there have been awfully long moments of, what are you doing? What are you doing? But when he turns it on, wow, that's terrific stuff. Speaking of turning it on, we've got just going to move a little bit further. There's been some exciting news for MacArthur FC in their inaugural season. We've heard that they're going to spend another $40 million to create and build something quite wonderful, not very far from where they play their major football. The A-League team, of course, is at their centre of excellence, but this is going to be a whole new centre, and it's from land that was purchased from the original John MacArthur. So, you know, talk about history.
That's a nice little bit of symmetry there, isn't it?
Isn't that lovely? Going back a couple of hundred years. So this will be the home of their W League side. It'll be the home of their youth team. It'll also be the home of a number of their NPL clubs that they really enjoy seeing some young, exciting players get some time through. So a tremendous new facility. And again, more importantly, more proof that MacArthur is here for the long term and not just, you know, coming in, doing what they need to do. They're here to promote the game, build the game, and Gino Mara and the others must be thrilled to bits that nearly $40 million will be involved in this particular. When you consider Melbourne City of putting $43 million into their new development at Casey, when you consider the extra $20 million they had last year, or no, not last year, 4 or 5 years ago when they built the academy at Bundoora, it's exciting times.
Yeah, I mean, any time you get dedicated football infrastructure, it's exciting for the code.
And Western United have already started, and they're getting onto their very special ground, and that's going to be a game changer.
100%. Yep. This is looking very promising too, and they're planning to have their new senior women's team that doesn't exist yet training there in 18 months, so they've got work to do.
Yeah, well,
that's exciting.
Listen, we've seen anything with the A-League, and if we've seen anything with the game, when you put your mind to it, things can be done. I remember when the Wanderers emerged out of nowhere and then hit the ground running, played some terrific football, and you saw the success they got in Asia, which Victory and others have struggled to emulate. It's terrific stuff. Terrific stuff.
I think if I had one criticism of MacArthur this season, it would come with how it's seemed to have soured with their active supporters, and there's all sorts of rows over the active area and the ticketing and the restrictions and so forth.
Yeah, I saw some articles, and again on Twitter, with the Western Sydney Wanderers. Mm. Some of their, is it the Red and Black Brigade?
Block, yeah.
Their block, and apparently one person was asked to leave, and they all decided that they're going to go walk out and protest. Well, look, I'm happy and I understand how it works, but maybe, just maybe, one person did the wrong thing. Mm. We've got to be trying, you know, tell the story from both sides. Speaking about stories, we've got an opportunity to talk to a couple of people tonight. One is Jim Lawrence, who is at the council meeting last night to decide the future for Pasco Vale and its story about the ground it needs to see developed and further developed. And we're going to hear also from Oscar Yildiz, who's a councillor at Moreland, knows full well just what has gone on behind the scenes. So we'll get both sides of what happened last night. But promisingly, and this is the thing that ended up pleasing us and putting a smile on our face, it looks like the football community will be rewarded for turning out in numbers. And we had Chris Nicu in here a matter of weeks ago, and you've spoken to him a couple of times now.
Yeah.
And he's been saying the one thing that we haven't been good at is getting together as a block almost,
yep,
and going to our parliamentarians, going to our council leaders and saying to them, look, we make up this community. We deserve some support. And we're seeing it also with the Port Melbourne Football Club. There's a ground that they use and another other ground that they train on, but there's a brand new secondary school being built. Uh-huh. And what do you think they're going to need?
Sporting facilities.
Yeah, so there's another tussle coming in the wind. It's an important time. We've got to fight for what we want. We've got to fight for what we need. And we're going to hear from both Jim Lawrence and also from Oscar Yildiz. So stand by. Stay with us on FNR. This is State of Our Football Nation. George Denikian and Josh Parrish. Take a word from our sponsors. Back after this. You're listening to the State of Our Football Nation on FNR. George and Josh, and just a reminder, right after State of Our Football Nation, do you know your history?
If you know your history.
I'm asking you, do you know your history? If you know your history is the program. Ian Sison and Paul Mavroudis, and tonight a special guest, Roy Hay.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be talking about one of the great characters of the game of the at the turn of the century, a guy called J.J. Liston. He was a businessman. He was a raconteur. He was a civic leader, and above all else, a sporting administrator par excellence. Not only did he look after the world game, but they also had him looking after the VFA. So there's a man, and there's a trophy that was named after him that the teams used to play for in the Victorian Sporting League, called the J.J. Liston Cup. It's gone missing, so we've got to find it.
Another mission. History boys are on the case.
If you know your history, they're going to look for it. And with Roy Hay's support, they may be able to find it.
Yeah, Roy Hay's always great fun. The doyen of Australian soccer history.
Look, he knows his stuff. He's worked at it. He's lived it. And he's met some of the great characters, some the great storytellers. And, you know, it's just seeped into his DNA. And whenever he writes, you can't put the book down. So if there's a Roy book coming or thinking about buying, do it, because it's like gold. It's fantastic stuff. And he'll be part of the program tonight. 8 o'clock, is the Lions Den back in action?
They are indeed. It's going to be fun.
Do things get slippery when it gets wet in the Lions Den?
Well, they used to.
It's pretty wet out there.
They used to, and they certainly get slippery behind the commentary tower, where it's very muddy. But on the actual playing surface at BT Connor Reserve this season, it's been completely resurfaced, and it's very, very nice.
Listen, they're making a big bid to be a big player again, and they're starting to draw some big crowds.
Oh, yeah. It's been amazing.
What was it, midweek of 3,000-4,000? Was that many, or am I?
Yeah, they've had as many as 3,500.
Wow.
Which is first for an MPL 3 club.
Yeah, that's just
bonkers.
Listen, if you were saying to the Knights and to South Melbourne, you're getting those numbers up and they're coming through the gate, they would be smiling.
Mm.
I know Bill Papastadiadis would be saying to you, yeah, we can make money on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can gear it and leverage our whole contest based on those numbers coming through regularly. And that's just tremendous stuff. So the Lions Den, 8 o'clock. But right now we've got a guest to join us. Why don't you do the introductions? You're very capable of this.
Well, there's been some intrigue and controversy in Pasco Vale and in Moreland regarding this new development, which is a new synthetic pitch. And the dog walkers have been up in arms again.
So will it happen?
Footscray Park Redux. And thankfully, Jim Lawrence was at the council meeting, and he joins us now. Jim, Thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you, guys.
What did you make of last night?
It was fabulous. And it was quite a shock after having been involved in Footscray Park. And I still remember, you know, how that whole issue got totally hijacked by
vested interests,
rebellion, and the Victorian Socialists.
Yep.
And lies after lie after lie became fact. Threats, racism, sexism galore, and the council took the easy way and chickened out and just totally smashed that whole proposal. So when I went there last night, I was totally expecting to be outnumbered again. If I take a few steps back, about a year ago, and I actually, I had got to know Pasco Vale via the Save Hakeem campaign.
And, that's right.
And
that's right.
I warned them of what was coming when I heard an inkling of a bit of a campaign against Hoskin, and that they were quite confident about their position, and they didn't really take it on board as being a serious threat, but I just knew that it was, and that the people from Footscray were providing the template for a campaign that was going to be just as disgusting,
mm-hmm.
and it was.
And destructive.
But last night, when I went last night, I hadn't been to the Moreland Civic Centre before, but I knew from when I got out of the car where the noise was coming from, I knew where I had to go. And I got there, and the noise was coming from the opposition, but it was a sea of navy blue, and it was fabulous. There was hundreds of people, football people there, and to the point where there was a lot of people that couldn't get in, but they kept increasing seating in the main hall. The room where the meeting was held, of course, was full of the opposition. They're very well organised. They have all their questions to council organised. They all register and all that sort of thing. It's something that we're not very good at the moment. But the main hall was 100% football people, and it was fantastic.
And they and what was the outcome from, as you suggested, there was an early inkling that you may not get what you deserved and what you needed. What was the final outcome? What was the decision handed down by council?
So, as you might know, you might not know, this project has been in the making for 10 years. The council has always been unanimously in favour of it. But the council makeup has changed quite a bit and has at least four Greens and one independent out of the 11 now. So it was going to be a tough ask. The opposition thought that they had six. So we quite a standard to watch councillor after councillor say, I'm voting with the amended proposal. And it was a unanimous vote in favour of Pasco Vale.
Wow.
And it was magnificent to watch councillors such as Oscar and the mayor and a few others stand up against the racist, sexist, derogatory behaviour of the opposition. It's something that Maribyrnong should take on board, and other councils. They need to be strong against this sort of pathetic campaign of hate.
But, you know, Jim, you said it earlier, it's organised. They are. Yep. They do their homework. They actually do faux meetings, so everyone knows their role, and it's pretty strategic. So, as you touched on, the secret is if we are organised as well, if we turn out in numbers, then we show our strength, and more importantly, we show to the council that hey, you're not alone. We are here to support you, and if you support us, then we'll get this job done. And the outcome, I believe, is they're going to get an outstanding new additional playing surface. Is it the artificial one going ahead or not?
So what's happening is the amended proposal now is one grass pitch,
yes,
one hybrid pitch,
uh-huh,
and a 1.1 metre fence around that pitch, it will be unlocked, right? So that pitch essentially just makes it, to Victorian Football Victoria standards,
mm-hmm,
stops the ball running away, etc. And it's a really great outcome.
Well, Jim, just looking back at some of the age coverage of this issue, very one-sided age coverage, I might add. Firstly, it was that the state government was pulling grants and there wasn't proper consultation, and then apparently it was that synthetic grass was an environmental disaster, which is the first I've heard of that. How were those concerns kind of allayed at this meeting?
Well, it was, look, it was totally negated by the fact that, I suppose, with a hybrid pitch, all the main leagues are using hybrid pitches.
They are. That's correct.
It's not a full synthetic pitch. So, you know, it has performance. The only reason that anyone ever considers a synthetic pitch anyway is because they need it. They need so much use.
That's right. It's the wear and tear. Lambert Park in New South Wales, which is the home of Apia, they've spent an inordinate amount of money putting an artificial pitch down because they just need so many teams to use it. Mm. And we're talking youth, we're talking women, and we're talking their men's teams. So you're absolutely right, Jim. It is about wear and tear. And whether it's a hybrid pitch or a grass pitch, they just can't stand up to the grueling football season, especially if the weather goes up and down. The curator or the groundsman just take, or groundswomen or groundspeople, they just take an absolute pummeling. They just cannot deliver what we need.
Yes, absolutely. Look, so it was all my experience in the last few campaigns is that we need to link all these campaigns up. We need to now be helping the Royals, and we need to as a code, we need to be making these councillors feel safe that there is that bulk support.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's what we're doing. That's where we're turning our efforts now. As I've come to know that the Royals said that, you know, there's 3,600 players in the area, but only 1,800 play in the area because there just isn't enough facilities.
Yeah. We're talking about the Essendon Royals,
yes,
that have been there for ages and ages, yes, and I can remember, yes, one, yes, of the players is my next-door neighbour, Eddie Krencevich, was part of the Essendon Royals in the early days, as was young George Christopoulos, who was there as a 15 or 16-year-old, and he was one of the youngest ever Socceroos. So, you know, we've had some royalty through there. We've had some pedigree footballers go through. And look, there's a young guy called Stefan Kolakowski, and he's come through Pascoe Vale, and he's now playing at Melbourne City. So, look, there are some terrific kids out there. We've got to give them more opportunities to play. And, you know, I've noticed that Lisa Devanna, who won a trophy this year with Melbourne Victory, has just signed a contract with Apia Leichhardt in New South Wales to play on in their new NPL season, in their W League side. So she wants to learn to play on all the surfaces. And as she said to some of the people the other day at a meeting that she attended, I love seeing all these elite new programs we're being offered, especially in preparation to the 2023 World Cup. And she says the more the better. So she understands that we've got to work them. We've got to give the players every opportunity to shine, because if we do that, then we've got a terrific opportunity when the time comes to see an even contest, a well-experienced side with no holes in it. And as we've discovered, when you play the Netherlands or when you play Germany, you need to have a good side working on all cylinders or else you're going to take a beating.
Yeah, just on that Essendon Royals thing. I mean, it was going around on Twitter, you know, today and yesterday, part of the council meeting from Moonee Valley, which, I mean, that council is almost diametrically opposed to the position of Morland, apparently. And we'll get into this with Oscar, but I was very disappointed to see one of the councillors equate Melbourne Victory's poor crowds to declining interest in football at a community level, which we know that those two things have had no relationship for a long time. You know, it's been overwhelming junior participation and the A-League or whatever the top league has been at the time has been totally removed from that. So it's a very ignorant comment to me, and it's difficult to break down those kind of barriers of ignorance, Jim.
It is unbelievable. And, I mean, of course, we know this has been happening for 140 years.
That's right.
And,
the boys,
and I know Ian, who's going to be on in another half an hour.
Yep.
Reasonably well, and and we understand these problems very, very well.
Yep.
You know, I could never believe after discovering the pedigree of Grade Park.
That's right.
How unbelievable, Northumberland were, on that very exact patch of turf that we were fighting for. We're the first Victorian to play for Australia. He was the captain of the club, everything like that. It should have counted for something. It should have really meant something, but no, it didn't. And so, when you had the power of Melbourne Victory getting defeated, we had a really strong a club like Pasco Vale, as we saw through Hakeem, having to fight tooth and nail. What I worry about is, not every club has that determination.
Yeah,
that's so true.
To go on with this, so I'm looking to find a way to be able to lend a hand there with any future campaigns. Let those people control it, of course. But there'll be lessons learnt from last night.
Yep.
Which was a magnificent outcome considering the high content of Greens councillors.
Yep.
And they all made their statements there with big disclaimers saying, we've got a climate emergency, blah blah blah. And it's like they begrudgingly let it through, because at the end of the day, there was, just ask when you talk to Oscar, ask
he's
him
coming
about
up very shortly.
Measure. Just ask him about the tape measure. It was very, very famous last night.
Jim Lawrence has been our guest on State of Our Football Nation, giving us an update from what happened last night in the Civic Centre at Moreland. And as he said, he wouldn't have found the venue if it hadn't have been for the enormous roar that was coming from the building as he parked his car. Jim, all the very best. Thank you once again. Look forward to catching up with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, George.
No worries at all. Jim Lawrence. Now, our next guest is going to be Oscar Yildiz, who almost became mayor of Moreland. So that'll be interesting. And I know from some of the discussions I've had with Oscar, he said to me there are forces out there and they are really, really fired up. So let's hear from Oscar shortly. You want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
All right, take a break. When we come back, it'll be Oscar Yildiz talking to us from the perspective of the council and how he saw last night's goings-on that saw Pasco Vale emerge victorious and the football fraternity and the football community of Victoria, especially in the Moreland area and Pasco Vale area, feeling much better for themselves.
You're listening to the State of Our Football Nation on FNR.
George Denikin, Joshua Parrish, I love that medley that you played just a moment ago of memories. From Johnny Warren, talking about what went on at the MCG against Iran, a game that we should have won. It would have moved the history of the game forward in no uncertain manner. And of course then, having to wait till 2006 and young Timmy Cahill, scoring some terrific goals, really exciting the whole of the country. And so many Australians got right behind the Socceroos, as they will, I promise you, get behind the Matildas in a year and a half's time, a couple of years' time.
You know what I regret missing, leaving out of that mix is John Safran and Johnny breaking the curse.
Oh, that would have been special. Find it and put it back in.
Speaking
of finding and putting things back in, we've found the councillor from Moreland City, who works so very hard, loves his sport. He's done a tremendous job, played a leading role in getting the cricket pitch off Campbell Reserve. I'm talking about Oscar Yildiz. Oscar, welcome.
G'day, George. How are you? To you and Josh, and your listeners.
Every time you do magic and you can remove cricket pitches from football fields, we feel like we should crown you as the, you know, a member of the football royalty in Victoria, because that's no mean feat. I mean, that cricket pitch has been there for quite some time. And can I also add the member for Wills helping you to get that terrific development of the club rooms on what has been a wonderful ground for football for years. If you go back to 56, and it was used as a training ground and an exhibition ground for so many of the visiting teams. The English team was here, and they ran on a Campbell Reserve. And they understood it. They loved it. So thank you very much for all your work, Yildiz. And more importantly, what happened last night? Take us through, because there were promises that was not going to be a very pretty night.
No, it wasn't, George. And look, I'll just correct one more thing. I love Campbell Reserve, but also the Brunswick City Football Club, believe it or not, George, they had a concrete pitch actually on their ground, and I was good enough to get that off Dunstan Reserve down in West Brunswick as well. So I've been able to get two cricket pitches off soccer ovals, which is I think a pretty good achievement on behalf of
the council. That's a miracle. If anyone can remove a concrete pitch from the middle of a football ground, I mean, seriously, what is occupational health and safety? They can't possibly say that's a good thing.
I mean, my best mate actually broke his ankle in a divot next to a cricket pitch when he was twisting and turning, got his foot stuck. So he'll salute you as well,
that's
Oscar.
That's why I say salutations to Oscar Yildiz, who should have been the mayor of Moreland, as far as I'm concerned.
We all know what went down there. But you're right. Josh.
Tell me, what happened last night?
Okay, so
because
last
you
last
even
night,
you were bracing for some scuttlebutt and rubbish, weren't you?
I was. And look, George, 13 years in this job, you get paid $30,000 a year, and my wife actually doesn't know, but the night before I got a death threat. I better not turn up to the council meeting because I did go to police. It was from a block number. The couple of days before that, I received a couple of threatening emails. You think for the amount of money we get paid and the rubbish that we have to put up with, look, people are passionate about their community, and that's great. But you don't attack the man, you attack the ball. And in this case, there are a number of people involved in the community group who are passionate about, retaining their open space. And they thought by the tactics they were using, especially on me, they were hoping to sway my mind to not do what we did last night, which was basically we voted, Josh and George, we voted to put a, look, at the moment at Hoskin Reserve down in North Coburg, you've got one large oval, and it's been an oval since the 1930s. The Hoskin family gifted that ground, which is called Hoskin Reserve, and I lived across the road from there at 13 Pallet Street. So I know the ground well. My nephew played footy there. My brother played football there in 1973. I'm talking about the other game, the AFL.
Yep.
For Paramount. Anyway, so it's always been a round ground, and Pascoe Vale's had that ground. They've been there since 1966, and they had in 2000, and I think it was 2009, they ended up getting the entire oval and the eastern side of that oval to train on. And last night we basically voted, initially the north part of the ground was going to be a synthetic soccer pitch, and the residents said no.
Yep.
We then did 8 months of consultation with Football Victoria, Moreland Council, the residents, the key stakeholders being Millerstone Tennis Club and the Australian International Academy, which is the secondary school next door. And we basically concluded, because of the amount of rubbish going behind the scenes and also trying to keep peace and compromise, we we decided to not have that northern pitch a synthetic soccer pitch. We thought we'd leave it as grass, but we'll have a 1.1 metre mesh fence going around it, so it'll be square rather than round. And the eastern side of that, there's a fair bit of land there for the kids to also train on. And the southern oval, where if you go to Pasco Vale's ground now, you'll see a fenced-off sort of area. That area is now going to be a hybrid surface. $960,000 was in the budget. We've been trying to... the club's been lobbying us for the last good 13 years.
Yep.
And we voted on this in 2009. So we voted on the synthetic soccer pitch back 11 years ago. And the community woke up and went, hang on, you guys voted on this 13 years ago. We didn't know about it. So we're now going to fight to retain it. So last night, a unanimous vote. So the Southern Oval, which is close to Bakers Road, will be a hybrid, you know, synthetic slash grass pitch. And the Northern Oval will now be a proper soccer pitch, because at the moment, if you get there, it's just a round football looking oval.
Yep. And we know if it's a squared off pitch, that is a rectangular ground, that is how the dimensions of a normal football field work in the world game. That's the best outcome, isn't it?
Absolutely. And look, Football Victoria, it's two Football Victoria standards, so it's what Football Victoria expect. And it'll be a mesh fence. I mean, some of the residents said, we don't want a mesh fence. We want it to be square. But I said, well, what's the point of that? I mean, you know, you kick the soccer ball, you want, if you go to Clifton Park down in Brunswick, it's almost going to be the same as that. Of course, it'll be grass instead of synthetic. But and even for dogs, George, a lot of these residents have got dogs. And to be able to close the fence and have your dog running around, isn't that better for the dog anyway?
I would have thought so. I can tell you a horror story. Years ago, Oscar, I had a beautiful King Doberman, larger than the normal Doberman. Did not know for 2 weeks that when we bought the animal that it had congenital deafness. I was trying to call it, and every time it would see me and I signaled, it would come to me. But if it wasn't looking at me, it was pointless whatever I said. And I had to chase it for 2.5 Ks only to find it sitting very calmly by the side of a major highway. And I'm thinking, don't move. I'll just come and get you. But so what I'm saying is the fence, I think, is if you're a pet owner, you'll find that to your advantage.
Yeah. Look, I think, last night after the meeting, a number of residents were quite happy with the outcome, I think. But we had... Geez, I mean, last night, Pasco Vale Football Club, God, they had hundreds and hundreds of supporters there. I was absolutely gobsmacked at how many supporters turned up. It was massive. I mean, we in fact didn't have enough room in the foyer. We had to move close to, you know, over 100 people into the town hall due to distancing rules, laws. But it was just absolutely packed. I mean, honestly, there's probably 90% were the club and 10% were the residents. But look, you know, in defence of the residents, fair enough. It's you know, they want to be able to share the space. But you know, Lou Toner, the president of the club, a lot of their supporters, a lot of the champion kids that have come out of that club. George, you know, and I know, Josh, a lot of these people that work at these clubs are all volunteers. And,
correct.
And to do what we did last night, I think this will now hopefully move the club forward. I mean, I've had, you know, campaigns with Hakim, who plays for the Pasco Vale now. He's come back after being injured for so long. They do so much for, you know, neuro kids. They've got kids that have got Asperger's. The club's just so diverse. You know, 850-odd members, 426 playing members. It's a big NPL club.
And probably 100 nationalities.
Easily, George. I mean, you know, you're in the most multicultural part of Melbourne.
Oh, yeah. We talk about diversity and supporting diversity and giving diversity a chance. And here's the classic example. And yet we had groups in there that were trying to scuttle what was a reasonable and fair application to get what they wanted across the line. And as you said, 11 years ago, they got basically the decision they wanted. And to think that people could still play games, it just beggars belief, Oscar. Where are we going with our councils these days? What country are we living in?
George, like, you know, last night we voted on contributing $100,000 to a feasibility study to, you know, phase out using gas. I mean,
I'm sorry?
It's a federal. Yeah, last night we basically, here we are, you know.
You're not Stonington COVID. Council. How, don't start following them, please. Oscar, you've got to step up. This is where you've got to step up.
Last night, honestly, one of the things that really surprised me after that motion, we then had a number of, you know, budgetary amendments, but one of them was that, in particular, the Greens and the Mayor, who's Labor, voted in favour of spending, you know, $100,000 of ratepayer money on a feasibility study to see whether we can, as a community, phase out of using gas in the next 9 years. And I'm thinking, $100,000, you give that to a sporting club, you give that to a community club, a childcare centre.
Yeah, absolutely.
They can do a lot with $100,000. But to give that to a study, and I was on 3AW this afternoon on Tom Elliott's program talking about how disgusted I am. I mean, it's not their money. And therefore, you know, they can spend it the way they want. Well, they can't.
You're absolutely right. It's not their money. It's the residents' money. And they have the purse strings. That's the challenge. Look, there's an awful lot we can discuss. We'll leave it there for now. But can I just take the opportunity to thank you, and not only for last night, but for the work that you do and have done. As you touched on, you helped the team at the club at Brunswick, and you helped the boys at Moreland City. Well done, and keep it up, Oscar.
Thank you, George. Thanks, Josh. Thanks for the opportunity.
There you go. Oscar Yildiz on FNR, State of Our Football Nation, talking about last night. Jim Lawrence started off the discussions and said to us he only found out where he had to go because of the roar that was coming out, which is great. We want activity. We want people passionate. We don't want silliness. We want people to be adult. And if we all work together, we can get things done.
Yeah, and there's a petition going around on behalf of not only Essendon Royals, but a number of other football clubs in that council area, imploring Moonee Valley to put together some sort of plan for football facilities over the next decade. There was one of the Essendon-based clubs had to give up 15 junior teams to a club in another municipality and basically send them away because they couldn't accommodate them in the area. So there's a petition going around. I don't know if it'll make any difference on that particular council, who don't have anybody as passionate or receptive as Oscar on there.
Moonee Valley, if you're listening, please, come on, support all those people and their families who love the game and who play the game. And you never know, we might have a budding captain of Australia just ready to come out of that part of the world.
Based on how expertly Matthew Galea from Essendon Royals have been running this campaign, I think we might have a future Football Victoria CEO.
Bring it on.
But hopefully we'll be able to catch up with them down the track. Okay.
Thanks, Josh. Until next week, State of Our Football Nation on FNR.
You're listening to the State of Our Football Nation on FNR.